I want to greet each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We truly serve a great God, and the question is he great in our hearts and in our lives? Have we made him great in our hearts and in our lives? Now this morning, when I think about, the sisters, when you think about your pots and your pans and your in the kitchen, most of those pots you cook with, or the pots that you use, are probably mostly metal, probably stainless steel, maybe cast iron, and so those are what we generally use in this side of the world. However, when I was growing up in India, it was very common in the villages. It was very common to have clay pots. And the reason that they were common was because the villagers could make them themselves. There was often somebody in one of the villages nearby that would pick up this trade of making pots, making clay pots. And so they were very common. I also remember there was a spot, if you took the bus from Ambikapur to Raipur. Along there was one place that the bus would often stop, that they would serve their chai. They would serve their chai in clay cups. And if you weren't used to that, it was something to get used to. They boasted that the chai would taste much better in these clay cups. But these were a one-use thing, and they threw them away. And also, when we lived in Ambikapur, my parents had stored their water, their drinking water, in clay pots. And the reason for that was because if you store your water in clay pots, it becomes cooler. There's a little bit of evaporation. Evaporation is a cooling process. And so it naturally becomes a little bit cool if you store it in a clay pot. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. This morning I'm fascinated in Jeremiah 18 that God tells Jeremiah to go visit the potter's house. Most likely, Jeremiah had passed by this potter's house or a potter's house many times in his lifetime. But now God wanted him to go to this potter's house and to teach him something. And I want to point out to you, too, that Jeremiah was obedient with this calling. It might have seemed a little bit odd in his day to have this request from God, but Jeremiah was obedient, and I believe God's people also must be mindful of God's appointments and God's callings. I think I'm going to read this chapter, Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, Then I will repent of the good therewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from your evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows, and let their men be put to death, let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses, when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. So here we have God requesting Jeremiah to go down to the potter. Now, I'd like to read a verse before we go into that too much. Another verse in Isaiah, a few chapters over, Isaiah 64, verse 8. It's tied to this here thought. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, it says, But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art Thou our potter, and we are all the work of Thy hand. And we really broke into this passage, and you can read it, this passage in your spare time, I guess, this coming week. But this verse brings out the fact that we are the clay, and our Heavenly Father is the potter. What do potters, as Jeremiah went down to this potter's house, what did this potter do? Well, he was taking this clump of clay. And potters take this clump of clay and they put it in the center of a wheel or something that spins. And oftentimes, in the older days, it was a wheel and they maybe had to manually move this wheel themselves, but this wheel turns, and this clump of clay is on the center of this table that turns. And they take this clump of clay, and they start molding this clay. And they start shaping this clay, and it's turning. And so they can make, and because it's turning, they can mold this clay into whatever vessels, whether it's a wide mouth pot or whether it's a narrow vase. These potters do that with this clay. And then we have an Isaiah that tells us that we are the clay and our Heavenly Father is the potter and we are the work of His hand. And as we think about that, this wheel goes around. The potter is taking his hands and he is starting to shape this clay. And as Jeremiah watched this potter work, I believed he learned some lessons and how we should respond to God's working in our lives. In verse 4, he was watching him, and he said, this potter was making a vessel, and it was marred. And what does marred mean? Or we could say the pot that he was making, it didn't turn out like he wanted to. There was some blemish in it, marred. Didn't turn out the way he wanted to. And so what did the potter do? Well, I believe what he did is he pushed this clay back together again, put it on a clump, and he started over again. Maybe there was a stone that was in this clay that just didn't make it look good. And he had to take that stone out, and he put it down, and he had to restart making this because it was marred. Clay is cheap material that remains rather worthless until it is in the hand of a skillful potter. And a skillful potter can turn something like clay into something beautiful in actually a relatively short time. It doesn't take long. Clay is not attractive in itself. But when the hands of the potter touch that clay, when the hands of the potter starts molding the clay, the thought of the potter, what the potter wants to bring, what the potter wants to make, is born forth in what he shapes together. And this potter is working this clay, and when he is done, there is a beautiful vessel that is made. And so, this morning, can you see yourself in these verses? This Isaiah says that I am the clay, that we are the clay, and our Heavenly Father is the master, is the potter. And so the thought is, what kind of clay is God working with this morning? What kind of clay is God working with? The end of verse 4 says, the potter works this vessel until it seemed good to the potter to make. He makes this vessel until it's how he wants it to be. And he might start over halfway at the top. He might start reshaping it because he just didn't like how that... Maybe he wanted a long center, or maybe he wanted a wide brim, and he doesn't like the size of it. And so then he reshapes it. But he's making something that seems good to the potter. That is our Heavenly Father. And there are really many hands in our life that God uses to shape us. As we think about our parents, God uses our parents to shape us. God uses our teachers. God uses our siblings to maybe teach us and to shape us. God uses the ministry. Maybe it's our Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's the authorities of the land. They're shaping us. Maybe there's circumstances in your life that happened that are shaping you? Are there trials in your life? Are there things that you're bearing that are shaping your clay? And unlike the clay of the wheel, which really doesn't have a choice of its own, we really do have a choice. We really choose how we want to respond to the potter's hand. We have a choice in that. If we are clay that is soft and pliable, submissive to his working, the vessel turns out more beautiful. The potter can make it more beautiful because the clay is the right texture for him to make what he wants to make. God wants to make something beautiful out of every individual here. And I had to think about this morning, when I had to think about this again, I just thought about how this here, the potter, so much is a good representation of our hearts and our lives. You know, God made us out of clay of this earth. It says in Genesis 1 that God made us out of the dust of the earth. He formed the dust. He breathed into us from clay. And so we really, in a real natural sense, we are the work of God's hands as well. Now, turn with me back to Isaiah again. There's a verse here, Isaiah 45, that I'd like to read. Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. What this here verse is asking or telling us is, what kind of people are we anyways for the clay to be telling the potter, what are you making? What are you trying to do? But so much, so often, maybe this could be our tendency as well. Am I questioning God's working in my life? Am I fighting the circumstances that are coming into my life? Are we fighting our maker when we do that? And I had to think also about Pharaoh. When God asked him to let the people go, Pharaoh was one of the men in the Bible that says he hardened his heart against God. And we know the account of the story, what happens when people harden their hearts to God. It didn't turn out so well for him, did it? And so this morning, this is a sobering example of what that should encourage really us to have soft and teachable and submissive hearts to the potter working in and through us. Questioning God about why he is doing or why he's bringing things into our lives brings forth confusion. And ultimately, it's questioning God's goodness. Because God really wants to make beautiful pots out of each one. It's God's desire to make beautiful vessels. And we have to allow him to do that in our lives. You know, when the clay becomes as hard as Pharaoh's did, he can no longer form it. And it is no longer good for anything, but he must throw it out. Back in Jeremiah 18, in Jeremiah 17, the chapter just before this chapter 18, verse 23 says, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And these were talking about the Jews. And it was that very reason that God had instructed Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. because they had made their, they inclined not their ears and they made their necks stiff. They had become hardened to the truth of God's word and to what God was trying to do in their life. They obeyed not. And so that led him to this chapter 18, where God wanted this example of the lesson of the clay. God wanted to show his people that he was working for their good. No, the circumstances might have not been good, but God was actually working for their good. And God is still working for good for his people today. God really wants the very best for every individual. And he wants to shape the clay that we have to vessels of honor. That's what God really wants to do. Well, in chapter 19 here then, in Jeremiah, the Jews remained hardened. And so God had to show them what happens to stubborn clay. And in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get the potter's earthen bottle and take the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests." And so he was supposed to take this bottle, this clay bottle that the potter had made, and he was supposed to find the elderly people in the village, I guess, on the Jewish and the priests. And verse 4, it talks about, "Because they have forsaken me, they have estranged this place, they have burned incense unto other gods, you know, whom they neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents." They have forgotten God, that he did not want to follow the way of the Lord. And in verse 10 then, this is what Jeremiah was instructed to do. "Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet. Still there is no place to bury." This was stubborn clay that was not willing to be obedient to God and was not willing to be molded by God, but it was stubbornness, it was stiff-neckedness, and God eventually gave judgment. And God was telling them by this here, by breaking this earthen bottle, that there is a day of judgment coming for your actions. Because you're not obeying me, because you're not submissive to my plans, because you're not allowing yourselves to be molded by the ultimate potter, then there is judgment and it will be broken. And verse 11, "I will break this people, this city, and it cannot be made whole again." It was a day of judgment for not being obedient to God and his plan. Now I would like to turn to the New Testament, Romans, and I found this very interesting. In Romans chapter 9, it talks about earthen vessels as well. And I believe I'm just going to read chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. "Nay, but thou, man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing that formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor?" in this verses here, these verses are telling us that we are the clay, and it is not our duty to ask God, why are you doing this or why are you doing that? Why are you bringing this into my life? It's not our part to ask God, you know, why are you forming me like this? Right along with that, there's another thought that comes through these verses, and that is the thought that God is the almighty power, and God has the authority to mold and make us the way he wants us. And so that's why he brings situations and things into our life, because he is the authority. And so it's not us to question why. Now, follow me with me to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 4, verse 7, if I can. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. When we allow Jesus Christ, the potter, to allow him to mold us and to make us vessels that he wants us to be, I find it really a blessing in these verses, and I'm going to read them. I'm going to start at verse 7 here. And we suddenly, these vessels suddenly store treasures. And these treasures are found in our earthen vessels. And I'm going to start reading at chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in our earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. For we which live, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And I was truly thrilled when I read this chapter. And when I thought about this hunk of clay, you know, God wants to mold us. He wants to take this hunk of clay, and he wants to make a beautiful vessel. But the reason he wants to make this beautiful vessel is because he wants to store his treasure in it. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And if you're a born-again believer today, God wants to use your vessel, and he wants to use it to store his treasures in. And when we allow God to come in our hearts and lives, that's a treasure that cannot be found anywhere else. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, you know, the troubles come, verse 9, that the persecutions comes, these things that cast us down, these these difficulties in life come. And part of this treasure in verse 14 is knowing that and realizing that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and I know we just came through Easter, but it's a blessed, beautiful thought that because Jesus arose from the dead, he is also gonna present, or he's willing to present us to God. And, you know, our God is not dead, but he is alive today. And thank God for that. And verse 16, you know, though our outward man perish, the inward man can be renewed daily. It doesn't have to be worried about the things around about us. Why? Well, because in verse 18, we look past the things which are seen. We look past to these earthly things that fade away because they are just here for a temporal, or they're just here for a temporary or a small time. We are looking through the eye of faith, through Jesus Christ, we see the eternal. And we allow that eternal vision to become renewed in our hearts and in our lives. And when we allow that eternal vision to become renewed in our hearts and our lives, these things of this life become vainly dim. And those are the treasures that we store in these earthen vessels. This morning, this useless clay in the potter's hand can be made vessels that are pleasing and God-honoring. They can be vessels that are storing treasures because of eternity. And so the question this morning, am I allowing God to mold me? Am I allowing God, is my clay pliable so God can make and use me? It will be worth it all. May the Lord bless.